This is a year of warfare, and we know that it's also a year of distractions, we said last week, and we talked a little bit about that. And there's all kinds of distractions in life. You know, when we begin to seek God, our flesh wants to do its own thing. But God said that first of all, number one is to love the Lord our God with all of our heart, with all of our soul, with all of our mind, with all of our strength, with all of our being, with everything that's within us. The psalmist said, bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within us. Bless His holy name. Amen. Hallelujah. We were singing earlier about Hosanna. If you don't know what Hosanna means, it's just an expression that it's a Judeo expression, you know, of joy and rejoicing and thankfulness to the Lord. Amen. We're saying Hosanna to the King. He is the Lord Almighty. He is the exalted one. He's the one that brings joy and peace. Amen. Glory to God. Now, I'm just saying a few things here, but because I mentioned last week, because I think it's important we continue to remember that our war is not against flesh and blood. It's not against man. It's not what people are doing. But there's things that are behind that, and that's the power of the enemy. The Bible says Satan goes as a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. Now, he can't devour you unless you let him. He doesn't just have all authority. He can't just make everything happen. See, if he could have killed you, he'd have done it a long time ago. He wouldn't let you get saved. That's his number one trick. He doesn't want people to come into the kingdom. Well, that's, you know, what is all this about God? Well, God is God. Amen. And he's faithful and he is true. We serve the true and the living God. He didn't have to make a way of escape, but he did. Through the blood, right? Through the blood of Jesus. Amen. Through faithfulness. Well, why would there have to be the blood of Jesus? The Bible says that without the shedding of blood, there's no remission. Now, all that doesn't have a lot to do with my message today, but I'm sharing it anyway. Because of what we talked about last week. And the Lord had said that we're entering into a time now where we need to really seek after the Lord and press into Him and begin to be ready, prepared for the things that are coming upon the earth. I mean, these are days and times of change. And it's not all in the natural sense, and we're not looking at those things, but we're looking into the Spirit of God and into the things that are unseen. Because see, when we're bound up and we're distracted into the things of the world, where's our power with God? See? We lose that. We don't have that access like we did have, unless we maintain that relationship with the Father, which is not a hard thing. It's just that we have to continue to press in. And the thing that wars against us is our own flesh or our own soul, our mind, our will, our emotions, the things that we think about in our mind. So that's where the Word of God comes in. It begins to give us other than things other than our own flesh, our own desires, our own wills, our own thoughts, our own ideas, our own plans, right? Amen. And to do it God's way. When we do things according to the Word of God, then we have His rest. We have the peace that passes understanding. We enter into a place called rest. God made that rest for us, and we received that, a part of that anyway, and we continue to move into that when we're born again. I mean, he says, and really that's what he's talking about. But let's look at Hebrews chapter 4. I'm going to start reading here in the first verse. And we'll see where we're going. We've talked in the past of Romans 12, that part of that problem and some of the things that we need to do is to be transformed, Romans 12:2, right, with the renewing of the mind. The word transform literally means to be changed from one state of existence to another state of existence. And we do that by renewing our mind, not renewing our spirit. Our spirit's been renewed by God. We were born again by Him. Our spirit is perfect, right? It's the one that's alive to God. But we do it by renewing our mind. He had written that once we're born again, our spirits are there, but renew is to replace the old with the new. We're replacing old thoughts with new thoughts, right? We've talked about renewing the mind quite a bit. But it's actually, we're transformed by the renewing of the mind. And we're renewing the mind. It's not just being changed. We're being changed, but I mean, it's not just like we're getting a different thing. We're actually changed. We become those things that God placed on the inside of us already. You see, our spirit man's been changed. We talked about that the very life of God. John 1:4, right? This is the life. He is that life, that light that came on the inside of us and changed our spirit from darkness to light. We went from one that was under the power of sin to someone that was set free from that sin. And that nature that came on the inside of us, it's the nature of Christ, the very life of God that came on the inside and began to drive out anything that's not like Him. Amen. Righteousness moves in and begins to work on the inside of us. But here we'll see in Hebrews 1 that there was a place. See, in the old covenant, they didn't have that rest that comes on the inside of them. They didn't have the peace of God that passes understanding. They were trying to receive it by obeying the law. And it couldn't come. It could not come just by keeping the law. The purpose of the law was that they would see their need for Christ. They would know, hey, I need a Savior. I can't keep this law. I need to slow down, Lord. Hallelujah. I'm just going off this morning. But anyway, it's okay. We'll be all right. So we've been born again. We have that new nature, that nature that was given to us by God. Yet there's still something else that needs to be changed right now. Our body will be changed later when it's glorified. But for the time being, we need to get our thought process lined up to what we have become in Christ Jesus. The things that we have received in Him. God sees us one way, but far too often we think of ourselves a different way. We're not thinking in line with what He thinks. Thinking with a new life that comes to us by the renewing of our mind. The renewing of our mind takes place as we meditate the Word of God, because the Word begins to replace the old way of thinking with the way that God thinks. Because you have the mind of Christ through His Word, the Word of God, we're going through a transformation process. We're actually being changed, transformed into the very nature of God. If God is love, He doesn't become love. God doesn't have love. God is love. He's already that. And you can be transformed into the very love of God, where what comes out of you is the love of the Father. That what comes out of us is love. That doesn't mean everything is perfect hunky-dory, because love has standards. Love is holy. Love is righteous. Love is just. It doesn't mean everything is just, well, whatever they do, we got to love them and so. No, God has standards. He sets standards up in His Word. That's why He said we're to love the Lord our God with all our heart, soul, mind, and strength. Love our neighbor as ourself. On these hang all the law and the prophets. Everything that was said of the past. The love of the Father. When we're in love with our Father, there's a place that we enter into that becomes a rest with Him. And He talks about it here in Hebrews chapter 4. Hallelujah. So we're going to see through change, the change that our soul takes place within our minds, our will, our emotion. You know, our emotions is what the enemy begins to use. He stirs you up. See, he can't make you do something. But he's been around mankind for a little over 6,000 years. He's been studying mankind. And the devil uses the emotional part of us. He's saying, if I tell them this, or I get Tony to tell Brother Doug this, then he's going to get all stirred up and we're going to be in fight, see? He wants strife. The enemy wants you in strife. He wants you in odds one with another. Hallelujah. But we come to that place for what? See, that's what the enemy does. Those are strongholds of the mind, strongholds of our flesh, where he can come and push your button just so. He knows just what to get you, you know. And if it doesn't, if you don't change, why would he change his tactic? He just keep going with the same thing over and over. It works every time. They blow up every time I tell them that. The devil's been studying you and he'll use that. But when we get a hold of what God says, See, maybe mom and daddy told you you ain't no good. You'll never amount to anything. Or maybe the teacher told you you're dumb. And you believed it for a long time. And became a part of your makeup. See, these are leftover things. See, they're just kind of like tattoos on our brain. See, it's not your spirit, but it's your brain, it's your mind. It's your emotions, the natural mind, which thinks wrong. And that's changed by the Word of God. Because God says, I'm a success. God says, I didn't create the junk. I created somebody that's made in my image, that has my ability on the inside. You see, sometimes people get addicted to certain behaviors. We get used to them. We think that's normal because that's how we were raised. Or that's how somebody taught it to you. You know, if I teach a child, I can teach a child anything. I could teach him that green is red and red is green. And he'll listen to me and believe me. See, we can teach anything to a child. It doesn't mean it was so. But God teaches us truth because he cannot lie. His word is pure. His word is holy. His word is righteous. And he said, I created you in true righteousness and holiness. Now some people say, well, I don't see very much righteousness and holiness in some people that believe in God. Well, it's not because they don't believe God, but they're not renewed to all the truths of God. When we become renewed to his truth, to what he says about us and how he says we really are, and begin to walk according to that. You say, well, what if I'm not there? What if I'm not that person? Well, if you're not perfectly conformed yet, then we continue to pray. That's the whole point of continually practicing what the Word of God says. See, we talk a lot about, well, we pray in tongues. Yes, and we gain understanding. And yes, God comes and he strengthens us and he builds us up above those things of the flesh. But yet it's up to us to walk it out. He's not going to make you walk in love toward a person. I'll give you an example. I think I gave this before, but I had a particular person in my life that just, I tried to befriend them, I tried to be nice to them, and I had to decide I'm going to love them. Even though when I went to talk to them or shake their hand or say hello, they physically turned their back to me. And I said, Father, I refuse to receive the rejection that the enemy's trying to bring to this person. And I choose to love them, and I speak well of them. And somebody asked me a question, well, what do you think of so-and-so? I said, I think they're fine. Find something good to say. I refuse to say, well, they did this or they didn't. No. If I meditate on what someone had done, then that's the thought that becomes the most prominent in my mind, and my behavior is not changed. But my behavior is changed as I say what Jesus said. I love that person, Father. I choose to love them. Because sometimes someone's in a condition, they need to be loved to the next place in God. There's error in their life. They're not understanding who they are. That's all it is. It's not that they're a terrible person. They may have given their heart to God. They may love God. But there's something, maybe there's something about men or something they didn't like that way. I don't know. So, hallelujah. Getting all over the place. Praise the Lord. Let's start our scripture. We're doing good. We're doing fine. Okay. I've only got like 11 pages. So, you know, maybe, you know, by 3 or 4, we should be done. No. They said, yeah, we're going to be overdone. No. If there's anyone there. Anyway, let's go to Hebrews 4. All right. It's got a lot to do here with transformation. Hebrews chapter 4 says, let us therefore fear lest the promise being left us of entering into his rest, any of you should seem to come short of it. For unto us was the gospel preached as well as unto them, but the word preached did not profit them, not being mixed with faith in them that heard it. For we which have believed do enter into rest. As he said, I have sworn in my wrath, if they shall enter into my rest, although the works were finished from the foundation of the world. For he spake in a certain place of the seventh day on this wise, and God did rest the seventh day from all his work. And in this place again, if they shall enter into my rest. Seeing therefore it remains that some must enter therein, and they to whom it was first preached entered not in because of unbelief. Again, he limiteth a certain day, saying to David, today, after so long a time, as it is said, today, if you will hear his voice, and harden not your hearts. For if Jesus or Joshua had given them rest, then would he not afterward have spoken of another day? There remaineth therefore a rest to the people of God. For he that is entered into his rest, he also shall hath ceased from his own works as God did from his. Let us labor, therefore, to enter into the rest, lest any man fall after the same example of unbelief. For the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit and of the joints and moral, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. The Word of God, the Logos of God, the written Word of God, right here. This is God's Word, your Bible. And it's what speaks to us and gives us that life. So what's he talking about here in this 12th verse? How does it fit into what he just said? Where is the connection? He said, verse 1, he says, rest, which means a state of existence free from worry, fear, from stress, free from strife, free from anxiety, free from depression, free from oppression, free from all the emotional upheaval. Amen. There's a rest that comes. There can be an emotional upheaval that is within the heart of man. Doesn't mean that we're going to kick back in a lazy boy and sit back and watch the football game, okay? It's not the kind of rest he's talking about. He's talking about a rest in what's already been accomplished. You know, we come to church with a smile, you know, with a smile on. And all the while, sometimes, you know, you can come to church or anywhere with a smile on our face. And all the while, your mind is worrying. Maybe you're in worship singing the word, but your mind's not thinking about what you're saying. You see, there's a place in worship that also brings a rest, because it brings rest to the mind. But worship has to be thought about. That's why sometimes I like to worship without the music, because it forces me to think about what I'm saying. I say, Father, I love you. I worship you. I glorify you. I thank you for saving me, Father. I'm so glad I'm saved. I'm so glad I've been born again. I'm so glad, Father, that you saved me with your precious blood. Lord, if I have nothing left in me, I know I'm born again. I have you, Jesus. I've got you, Lord, and I'm on my way to heaven, and I'm thankful. I worship you. I magnify you and honor you and praise you, Lord. Oh, Father, I thank you for the day that I bowed my knee to you and I surrendered to Jesus. Oh, Jesus, you're my life. I love you, Lord. With all my heart, soul, mind, and strength, I love you, Father. I thank you that you've loved me. I love you because you first sent your son and you showed your love to me. And I begin to worship the Lord out of the inner sanctuary of our heart. And it's not something that has to be fancy, just a few words. I bless you, Lord. I worship you. I exalt you. You are my Lord. You're my master. You're my king. Jesus, I love you. Jesus, I worship you. You know, and you say, well, how long does it take until? Maybe an hour, maybe 2 hours, maybe it's 4 or 5 hours. Depends on your soul. But see, we got to get our mind in there. And sometimes even when we're worshiping like that, see, in between, your mind wants to start trying to go down the street and solve tomorrow's problem. So we have to bring it back and make it think about what it's saying. Sometimes you got something pressing, or maybe you're going to do something in a little bit, and your mind's all on it. But if you'll force yourself and sit down, say, mind, you get with me here. Nope. I got to worry about that. You say, well, what if I got a lot of things? Well, I would suggest you just start writing them down. Because see, what's happening is your mind's doing what it's supposed to. I didn't know I was going this route, but your mind begins to do what it is supposed to do. It's supposed to solve problems. It's thinking about what you're going to be doing tomorrow, or trying to solve some things because it's finally got quiet enough to where it can talk to you. Oh, don't forget to do this. Don't forget to do that. Oh, yeah, you got to run there and you got to do the laundry and you got dishes in the sink. Oh, yeah. Oh, okay. Yeah. Yeah, that's right. I was going to clean the car today. And so you got your list here. If you'll write it all down, it's like saying your mind is saying, okay, he's got that covered for right now. You set that aside and begin to allow God to come in your mind to be thinking on our Master, on who he is. And really, that's what the Word of God gives us as well, is something other than our flesh to govern our life. See, when we're caught up in the flesh or in the things of the world, our mind's going crazy. It's going 100 miles an hour. It's just moving. We're thinking, we're doing this. We make all kinds of things that we don't even really, you know, we don't think about so much, but we just do them, like breathing. We don't think about breathing, but we're glad we breathe. Amen. It's something God placed within us automatically. Our bodies work and they continue to function, and our heart continues to beat and our blood continues to flow because he is a good father. But here we're talking about rest, let's look at verse 3. Verse 1 says, let us therefore fear lest the promise being left us of entering into his rest, any of you should seem to come short. So what is the entering into his rest, that place of tranquility, that place where the worry is gone, where the fear is gone, where there is no torment of the mind, where there's a place in God and in him where he comes and our mind begins to be transformed to what he had said. He said, I am the one that came to give the peace that passes understanding. He says, my peace I give to you, not as the world gives I unto you. See, this place they were talking about here is they were going to enter into the promised land, the place that's flowing with milk and honey. But they didn't, some of them didn't enter in because of their unbelief. They did not mix faith with the promise that God had given them. They walked around the mountain 40 years, and anybody over 20, they didn't enter in. They died off. And then, so I'm going to take the new crop in because they believe. They're trusting me. They're believing me. Other than Caleb, you know, and of course Moses did believe, but because he had spoken of the rock the second time, which was important. Why was that so important? Because Jesus had already, God had already told him. He said, You struck it the last time. See, God struck Jesus. He said, when I leave, you will ask the Father of me. He said, I'm going to go and pay the price. Price is already paid. When Moses struck it the second time, it was like striking, saying, uh-oh, you know, God needs to do something again. In other words, the price has to be paid again. No, now you just speak to that rock. Jesus is the rock of ages. And anything that we ask the Father, he said, whatever you ask in my name, I will do it for you. Hallelujah. So there's that place of rest, that place of entering into that promised land of the soul. See, our mind, our will, our emotion has to come under the control of our spirit. Our spirit man's been born again. We say, well, we don't have any trouble there. No. But if we don't yield to that, to the new nature on the inside of us, then we can have all kinds of torment. That's why you see people, well, it looks like they're saved, but, you know, they say they're born again, but they're not really, you know, well, they're out of control. They've allowed their flesh to do whatever it wants to. And if they continue in that, then it's going to show unbelief. And we see that in the old covenant where they died off. They didn't enter into the rest. They're not going to enter into the things of God. They're not going to enter into the eternity if they don't change and repent. Because God has standards. And he set his standards out in his word. Everybody says, well, I don't understand that, but okay. He still does. He still has standards. He has standards of holiness. Verse 2 says, for unto us were the gospel preached as well as unto them, but the word preached did not profit them, not being mixed with faith and them that heard it. If we don't mix faith with who Jesus is, we don't profit from it either. He says, I'll give you healing. But if we don't believe it, we don't see that it's His will, that it's His purpose, then we don't receive it. But He said, whatsoever things you desire and pray, believe that you receive them, ye shall have them. They will come to pass in your life. If you will, what? Believe. Believe. That's a big word for, you know, sometimes we say faith. You know, but that's really what faith is. It's believing that what Jesus said is true. When we believe what God believes, we'll have what He said we can have. He said, all things are possible to him that believeth. Amen. See, this is a chapter of faith as well, because the place of rest is the place of trust in God. It's the place where we know that what He has accomplished is enough. See, He accomplished us that place with God, that peace with God, that new nature. How shall we escape? Verse 3 says, if we neglect so great salvation, which at the first began to be spoken by the Lord and was confirmed unto us by them that heard Him. Okay, it says, we who have believed do enter into rest. What is the believe that He's talking about? What is this referring to? It's those of us who have believed on Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, and we've entered into that state of existence, that place where we're a new species of being. God actually changes us. We don't stay the same person. We become a new species, not so much outside, inside. Later, we're going to get the new body, and you'll see that. We'll all see it. Hallelujah. We're all looking for that day. But the works were finished from the foundation of the world. The works that He was talking about. And that's 1 Peter 1:18 through 20 says that Jesus. 1 Peter 1, let's look at that, 18. I feel like I'm kind of all over, but I hope I'm making sense today. Because I'm going to get into how that is. We're talking a little bit about worship, but that's because that's what enters us into that place of rest with God. Because worship brings a stillness to the soul, to the mind, to those emotions that want to fight our spirit. You see, the flesh wars against the spirit, and the spirit against our flesh man. And that includes our emotions. That includes the upheavals that try to come, and our emotion wants to tell us, you're this, you're that. And everybody says, well, you know, what's your, you know, we all talk to ourselves inside every once in a while, you know. And sometimes I say, come on, Douglas, get with it. You know, get to praying, get to moving. Think on God's thoughts. Get that Bible out. What did He say about you? That you've been made a new creation. A child of the living God. I've got an inheritance in the Father. And part of that inheritance is a rest from the agitations of this world. But if I sit down and I feed myself in front of the news all day, I'm going to be lucky if I can open my window, you know, and not think I'm going to get the COVID, you know, because they made it so fearful, so powerful. But it's not more powerful than you and God. Faith in the living God. Either He's healed us or He didn't. Amen. And He did. He says, you can walk with me in that place. 1 Peter 1:18-20. It says, for as much as ye know that ye were not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold from your vain conversation received by tradition of your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ as the Lamb without blemish and without spot, who verily was foreordained before the foundation of the world, but was manifest in these last times, who by Him do believe in God that raised Him from the dead and gave Him glory, that your faith and hope might be in God. But the point I'm making here is it was already said. The Father said, I'm sending the Son. He's going to pay the price. He's going to give you the inheritance into the family. You can join the family of God by believing in Christ Jesus. If you haven't joined the family of God, you can do that at any time. when we call out from the inner heart and we say, yes, Lord, I believe. I believe that Jesus paid the price for my sin. His blood sacrifice on that cross covered it. See, He became that sin for us, that we might be made the righteousness of God. And through Christ, we are made right with Him. And we can enter into that place of rest. It's a place of rest in God. Hallelujah. It's taken me a while to get rolling here into this chapter, but we're moving along. Hallelujah. So from God's viewpoint, the state of rest, no worry, stress, strife, anxiety, depression, oppression, and all emotional upheaval already existed. Jesus said, I am the door. He says, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no one comes to the Father but by me. John, that's in John 14:6. And so he's saying, that is the way, the complete freedom from all of these things. So from the foundation of the world, God declared the work to be finished. He said, it's going to be finished. Hallelujah. He said, this is it. God did rest on that seventh day. Verse 4. He said, for He spake in a certain place of the seventh day on this wise, and God did rest from the seventh day of all His works. So He stopped performing, He stopped creating, and He rested. He entered into that state of just rest. He said, it is good. God created the heavens, the earth, He created man. He said, it is good. I'm done. I'm finished. Anybody ever had anything you're working on? Maybe you worked on it and you got it done. He said, it's finished. That's great. You sat down, you rested. That's what God did. He rested on that seventh day. He entered into a place and God did perform that which was necessary for us to enter into that rest. He stopped the creation, and He entered in. He says, okay, my part, my creation is ready. It sounds so simple, but that's what it is. That He just, you know, created and He stopped. He said, there's a rest. And He also created in us. He gave us that new spirit. He caused us to rest from the performance of our own work of trying to be good enough to please God. See, that's what religion is when we're trying to do our own thing. You know, and sometimes people want God and they want to do their own thing too. See, it doesn't work that way. We surrender our life to Him. When we try to do our thing and His thing too, it doesn't work. That's having two, you know, that's a different, that may be just a total different plan. Sometimes we say, well, I want to, that's what I want to do for you, Lord. I want to be a gospel entrepreneur. That's what, you know, isn't that what you called me to do, Lord? No, I maybe you didn't. You know, let's just say you didn't. But that's what you want to do. See, I want to make money. I want you to make money. Oh, boy. I want to make money, you know. We all like to have some money. It's important to live in the earth. See, if I say that, God called me to preach. I can't go make all kinds of money and preach at the same time. I may be able to do some, you know, do a few things, but not really. See, my main heart has to be with Him. Our main focus is, oh Lord, what do You have for my life? What is my part to the body of Christ? If that never crosses our mind, then it's never going to happen. If we're never asking Him, how's He supposed to show us? See, some people go their whole life, they never ask God what they're called to do. What is my part in the body? They never ask. They just assume. Well, this must be it. That's what I want to do. That's what my, you know. Well, that's great. Oral Roberts wanted to be the governor of Oklahoma in the United States one time. He said, I wanted to be the governor. That was his plan. Anybody know who Oral Roberts is? He's the one that created Oral Roberts University and had a great healing ministry. He said, this is what I've called you to, Oral. And he was very pleased, obviously. Because see, the plan of God and the purpose of God is going to bring a rest to you. It's not going to trouble you. It's not going to bring worry and fear. But you're going to enter into that place of rest with Him. That place that's free of anxiety. That place that's free of emotional turmoil. Hallelujah. Verse 9 says, there remaineth therefore a rest to the people of God. Verse 9 says, there remains therefore a rest to the people of God. The people of God, those who've received Jesus Christ as Savior and Lord. And verse 10 says, for he that's entered into the rest, he also has ceased from his own works as God did from his. For he, the believer, that has entered into his rest, God's rest, his rest has become our rest. His state of existence becomes our state of existence. That believer also has ceased from his own works as God did from his. Has ceased is the same Greek word that's translated in verse 4, did rest. So when he says the believer who has ceased, he, the believer, has done what is necessary to stop his own works. In other words, our own striving in the flesh. How does it apply to us? God had stopped. He stopped from his own works. He is specifically talking about the works of the law. He's saying the person who received Jesus Christ, the Lord and Savior, has ceased from performing or trying to keep all the laws of God, all the law and the commandments of God. Because he said, I now give you one commandment, the law of love. To love the Lord our God and to love our neighbors ourselves. On these two hang all the law and the prophets. On those two commandments. Let's go to Matthew 22, verse 37. Says, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy mind. This is the first and great commandment. And the second is like unto it, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. Verse 40 says, on these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets. In other words, everything that God had commanded, love the Lord your God, don't have any idols before me. These things hang on those two commandments. When we love God, we're not going to have idols hanging before us because we've entered into a place of rest. Verse 11 says, let us labor, therefore, to enter into that rest, lest any man fall after the same example of unbelief. Now, what is something that we can do to enter into that rest? We talked about it briefly, but when we begin to worship God, we enter into a place of rest. It's a place that God comes and His presence is. And we rest of our own. You know, that there's a difference because, see, worship is not something that we came up with, but something that God has already commanded us to do. Worship Him, to love Him with all our heart, soul, mind, and strength. See, a lot of times we have spiritual disciplines. But those spiritual disciplines didn't really originate with us. They originated with God. He said, I am holy. Be ye therefore holy. He is worthy of worship. He is worthy of our worship. And when we get to worship Him, we begin to soak in His presence. You know, sometimes, you know, the psalmist says, seven times a day I'm going to praise Him. Now here's a good practice. Set your phone or whatever it is you're carrying around. You know, we all got these phones we carry around. You know, you could set it for seven different times of the day. You say, well, what are you going to do? I'm just going to take a minute, just a moment. I don't care where you are. Anybody could do this. Even some of the busiest people in the world. But you just stop for a minute and say, Lord, I acknowledge you. I worship you. Thank you, Lord, that I invite you into this, what I'm doing right now. I just invite you in this. Help me, Lord. I acknowledge you. See, he did that. The psalmist said, I do that seven times in the day. Begin to worship the Lord. I know somebody that incorporated that in their life because they were so becoming so stressed out because of all the things they're working on. But as they begin to acknowledge God in every single thing, then that rest begin to be their guide. That peace that passes understanding rises up and can be a sure guide on the inside. That new nature will teach us to deny ungodliness, worldly lusts, what? And lead us into the path of righteousness. into the path that God had for you. When there's decisions to be made every day, we've got to trust God that He directs our thoughts. I've got to make decisions every day. You know, concerning the church, I'm sure it'll get more and more. Well, what are we going to do about this? What are we going to do about that? I have to trust that the greater one lives on the inside. See, we hear His voice, the voice of a stranger we don't follow. Well, how'd you know we should do it that way? Amen. We follow after peace. We follow that nature that He gave on the inside, the nature of rest. That's so great a salvation. Hallelujah. It's a salvation that is great. And so that's the major key to me that I see is worship is a work that we do to enter into that rest. He said, labor therefore to enter into that rest. What's the other thing? The Word of God. Why? Because when we think upon what He said, then our mind is changed and we are transformed into what we've already become. See, we're becoming what He already made us. I know that sounds like an oxymoron, but and it kind of is. But see, everything that you are on the inside of us, our flesh still has to sometimes be rooted out. And we get the mind of Christ, the very purpose of God. See, the purpose of God for this city is not for us just to sit here, but to see revival, to see the glory of God fill the house. That His presence comes and stays to such a degree. Amen. That man cannot stand to minister. It's not all about me. See, I've had dreams before where, you know, I just stood up, Jesus, and people were filled with the Holy Ghost. The room, boom, people just begin to pray, begin to seek after God from one word. See, it's not about the great preaching. It is to a degree. The Bible says the foolishness of preaching, you know, is what confounds the wise and it brings people to Christ. And he says, well, what are you talking about? Preaching brings people to Jesus. Yes, it does. It sure does. When we start sharing Jesus and we proclaim Him, it's all preach is to proclaim or talk about Him with the guy at your work or the person that you're in contact with. You start sharing Jesus. Jesus comes on the scene. His power is released. They said, this is the power of God. What? The gospel, the good news that you can have. There's a place in Christ where there's rest for that turmoil, where there's rest for the weary. He said, come learn of me, for my yoke is easy. My burden is light. We enter into that rest with the worship of God. He said, this is, and with the Word of God. And that's the next verse. For the Word of God is quick and powerful. Sharper than any two-edged sword. Piercing even to the dividing of the soul and spirit. And then the joints and the marrow. What would that be? That would be our body. And is the discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. See, we think we can know, but with the Word of God, we can discern what's right and wrong. Between what is our soul, what is our own self, and what is God's plan. What is His purpose? The purpose of the spirit of man. See, we live according. See, we walk according. He said, if you love me, you're going to keep His commandments. He says, we walk according to our new nature, according to that spirit of God that's on the inside of us. But how do we know we're walking according to that? The Word of God. Because the Spirit of God and the Word of God are going to agree. He's not going to give you something other than the Word of God to walk by. If it's outside of the Word of God, then I want you to come talk to me. Because we need to find it. If it's not in the Word of God, you need to stop it. Because it's not right. You've not received the mind of the Lord. Because the Word and the Spirit of God agree. We begin to worship God and we get ourselves settled down on the inside. We allow our spirit to rise, see? And the Word of God gives us that anchor for our soul, our mind, our will, our emotion. It gives us direction. The overall direction of God, obviously, is to win the world, to see the glory of God. But as we're walking along that path, there's things like holiness. Well, see, holiness is our gift to the Lord. That's something we give Him, that we become as we walk with Him. We continually become that. And that's where we find that. in the Word of God. When we see what the Word says, to cast our care on the Lord and not to fear, not to worry. And then we begin to practice that. See, that's a step into the holiness of God. That's a step into the purpose of God. These are the steps that we take. We worship and we take the Word of God and we say, no, this is my final say-so in life. What God said, not what I see on the outside, said everything outwardly is subject to change. Everything outside. See, we want all the circumstance to change so that we can enter into the rest. No, the circumstance may not isn't going to change until you enter into the rest. See, when we enter into that rest of God and with God, know what He had said. No, He's going to provide my need. What? According to His riches and glory, not my divine ability. I don't have, you know, He may give me the power to get well, the strength, the ability to do some things, but it's going to come through Him and me trusting Him. Not trusting in my arm of the flesh, but trusting that God is guiding me and He has an answer and He's going to show me how to come to that place. And many times there's some simple truths. The Bible says that wisdom cries out in the marketplace. You know, there's things in this world that sometimes cry out to you and you need to pray about it. Yes, Lord, okay, show me how to do that. Well, I don't know how to do that. He'll show you. He'll help you in those steps. It may, number one, I mean, He wants us to be good stewards. We know that. So it might be a good idea to create a budget. But many people don't like that word. Well, that's going to restrict me. No, it's going to control your flesh. And it's going to cause you to prosper. Because he who saves little by little shall be rich. See, everybody says, well, I can't save, but, you know, I can't save any money. Okay, well, let's get to where you can. Amen. You can come to that place. Save something. You know, $5, $2. Start small. But let it grow. Let God prosper you. So, well, I don't like that. That's hard on my... I just want to be rich and love God too. Well, good. You can be. When you don't love money. Boy, I'm saying a lot of things today. Wow. But what if I do love money? I love money. I think money's great. God said the gold and silver are mine. And if you think money makes a great God, you're sorely mistaken. I know a guy, he said he made all this money, and I was listening to him, and he's worth about, a little over $1 million. They've got, you know, their net worth, and he said, I got all this stuff paid off, and you know, it's not that I don't like giving and helping people, but so I just kind of feel lost. I've gained all this stuff, and I don't have anything. I don't know, you know, what's my next purpose. You know, he felt like he lost all his purpose in life because he was working hard to obtain that place where he's secure and he's got enough money. Not super wealthy, but he's got a little bit, you know, taken care of, can give generously. But he lost the purpose. Because he says, man, this was his purpose. See, our purpose is to walk with the Father, to please Him. Now, if He's called you to be a gospel entrepreneur, you may make billions, but that can't be your God. See, what happens to most people is by the time they make their money, then their money made them. They love their money and they can't give it away because they got security. They got happiness, supposedly, you know, a certain amount, you know. See, happiness may be your circumstance, but they don't have the joy of the Lord because they lost their relationship with the Father along the way because they went chasing after something that doesn't satisfy the spiritual man, the soul of man. Another guy was talking about that. He finally found the Lord. He had gotten very rich. He had several millions. And a friend of mine in Australia, and he was so happy to get saved because other things in life, see, money can't buy you a healing, can't buy you a miracle. It can't bring rest to your soul. He was going crazy. He was losing his mind. But he said, then Jesus came. I didn't realize I needed Jesus. See, the Bible says, what profiteth a man if he gain the world and lose his own soul? And I used to think about that a lot because I worked for a rich lady. Felt so sorry for her. She was very lonely. You know, her family, you know, they liked her, but they really just came around because she had money, you know. And her real friends, you know, they wouldn't talk to her about little things or things that mattered to her. Or, you know, trials that she was in, because that's just not what they talked about. They just talked about the surface things of life. What a nice tree you have. Oh, where did you get that pretty bowl? You know, I mean, it sounds crazy, you know, and you hear it in the background and you're like, boy, would you get real, you know? but these are real people. They have real hurts and real needs. But she'd come outside. She felt comfortable talking to me. Sometimes on a Saturday, she'd come outside. She talked to me about when her son was killed in a plane crash. Talked to me about when she was 12 years old and things that happened to her. Talk about the real things of life, the things that really affect people. But with their so-called friends, she didn't feel comfortable sharing those. Well, what are they going to think, you know? See, God wants us to be available. When we enter this rest and we have this rest of God, the peace of God, we have the answer for mankind. It's a place that we enter into and worship and the Word of God. You know, we can take sometimes, you might, you know, if you've got a healing problem, find your healing scriptures, but not just saying them out loud. Put them in a worship. Father, I thank you. I worship you. Surely, surely, Father, you've carried my sicknesses, Lord. You bore my sicknesses. You carried my pain. By your stripes I was healed. I thank you. I worship you, Jesus, that you're my healer. Magnify you, Lord, because you said, Lord, that himself bare my sicknesses and carried my pain. Matthew 8:16-17. And that's in what he said there. He said, I am fulfilling what Isaiah the prophet said. That's Isaiah 53:4-5. Isaiah 53:4-5. And where he talked about being the healer and that his stripes are enough for me. Thank you, Jesus, for being willing to bear those stripes for me. See it with our mind's eye. Worship him. Begin to declare it, but worship him. Father, thank you. I worship you. I magnify you as my healer. I thank you, Lord, that you bore it. And I'm not saying, you know, if you did that 10 or 15 minutes a day, before long, you're going to start feeling real good. You will. Because he becomes to us just what we call him. Just what we acknowledge him. See, we forget because we're human. And we get busy and we let the busyness of life say, well, man, that's a lot of things. Well, not really. Not really. So I have no time. Well, we can help you find some. I'm sure if we write your schedule down and you start writing down every day what you're doing, I bet we could find some. Like, well, what about these 2 hours right here where you're watching TV? Oh, well, I like that program. I know you do. But is it bringing real rest to your soul? Yeah, you're relaxing, but it's not bringing you rest. You know, you're getting all involved and all emotional. And maybe it's, you're getting involved. Pretty soon you're praying for the guy and, you know, oh, Lord, please help him, you know. And it's a TV show. He's not even real. But when we set our mind on him, we take that word and we worship him. That rest. And I know all of you have experienced it here time to time, but we're talking to enter in where that can become a permanent resident on the inside of us. That peace. See, we have peace. So, well, Brother Doug, do you walk in peace? Yes. But it's a greater, you're saying, well, is it? And to us, it's a greater peace because we acknowledge him more. See, we go from one degree of glory to another. And the reason we have this degree, well, what about last year? Didn't you walk in peace? Yes, I would say, yeah, I'm in peace now. But I didn't have this year to compare last year with. See? So there's that greater place of peace, that greater place of rest in Him, that greater place that we dwell, where we are available not just for our own selves, but for those around us. As we continue to worship Him, then that begins to build an atmosphere about us, see? Circumference around us that can begin to increase. And we can increase in the love of the Father. It's like the ripple in the pond. If you put a rock out there and I throw it in the pond, the ripples start coming out. They go all the way to the end of the pond, see? When we begin to worship God, we are that host. We are His temple. We are the one that He comes and dwells within, and we ripple out from within us. And there's a presence that comes and begins to fill. And each of us brings our supply. And we begin to see the pond, the place of God, that rest of God, the life of God, the love of God, the glory of God begin to be poured out into our atmosphere about us. That's what's going to happen. That's how the glory comes to stay. Because we enter into a place in Him. And if we don't enter that place, it's not going to stay. We've got to be guards over it. He said, guard our heart with all diligence, for out of it flows the issue of life. The things of life, the things of God, the very life of God flows from within you. Hallelujah. Yes, we pray. We need to keep praying. But when we begin to worship, then our mind, our will, and our emotion begin to come in line with His Spirit, with His Word, with His truth, with His plan, with His purpose. And His presence begins to change things about us. Hallelujah. And we begin to become that calm individual that's not flying off the handle every 2 seconds. Well, how do you know? None of your business. That's past. That man died. That man was renewed by the Word of God. And he doesn't exist there anymore. I exist in my Father. My Father lives in me. Hallelujah. And the cravings of the flesh begin to die down, begin to become less and less. And the desire for our Father and fellowship with Him begins to be more and more. And our life is transformed into the very image of Jesus. Where when you walk, Jesus is walking with you and in you and through you, see. He becomes everything He is in you, and you become everything that He created you to be. And we begin to walk that out, and each part of us, each of us bringing our supply, begins to produce. Hallelujah, the very glory of God and the very mind of the Father, so that others are hungry for what you have. Especially as the world continues to turmoil. We don't have to worry about that. We're in this world, but we are not of the world. Yeah, we have to live in the world. We're here, but we're of another kingdom. Our Father is God. He created us. He says, my kingdom's within you. Hallelujah. It's a kingdom where we enter into rest. It's a kingdom that we labor in to know Him and to walk with Him. Amen. Hallelujah. And we enter into that place of rest. And we take the Word of God and we let it be our final say-so in life. Because it is quick. It is alive. See, the Word of God itself is alive. It's not dead. It's living. And it brings a living truth. That's why when we get a hold of the truth of healing, it becomes a part of us and it can change our body into health. We can go from sickness into health. That's the same thing. When we get a hold of the Word of God, that He will provide, that He is our provider, that He is our need man, that He didn't call us just to be broke in this world. I mean, I don't know any broke people that are helping the poor very much. You know, they think they are sometimes. You know, and they can preach the gospel to them. I'm not saying that. But as far as by any means, Jesus was given to the poor a lot. He had a treasure. I don't know many people that have a treasure that had no money. He had some money. He wasn't super, I'm not saying he was super wealthy, but he always had plenty. Because he heard the voice of his Father. And when you hear the voice of your Father, amen, you're going to have more than enough. When he says, go fishing, you're going to know it. That's what he told Peter, go fishing. First fish that comes up, there's a gold coin. You say, well, God couldn't tell me that. Well, no, he couldn't. Because you're too busy trying to fix it yourself. See, one idea from the Father, one word from God can change your life. I mean, it stopped him from having to go to work and stop everything, stop the whole ministry. You know, Peter, oh, well, okay, the first fish, here we go. You know, cast it out there, and here come the first fish, and sure enough, opens his mouth, there's the gold coin. Go pay our taxes. For me and you, Peter, go take care of it. Okay. I mean, that's you know, we've got to be willing. But see, we're not going to receive that because I think that's stupid. That don't make any sense to me. Sit out and pray in an unknown language that you don't know. Build myself up on my most holy faith. How dumb can you be and still breathe? That's what the devil wants to say. But God says you're building up yourself on your most holy faith. Praying in the Holy Ghost. In the language that you didn't create. See, it didn't start with you. It started with God. See, God has things that he gives us that are not works. But they are tools. They might be a little work, but they are not works in the sense that we're trying to get God to do something. But we labor, therefore, to enter into the rest. Amen. Hallelujah. So let's do that. Let's begin to worship God. Let's begin to let the Word of God govern our mind and pray in the Holy Ghost and build ourselves up above our sense-ruled realm. Well, we're not bound by the enemy. We're not bound by our flesh. We're not bound by false teachings that the devil's tried to place within us. But God can root all that out. And we begin to serve the true and the living God with power and great glory. And the peace that passes understanding and a joy unspeakable. And a presence that creates miracles. Amen. Hallelujah. That's my challenge today. That we make the decision to continue to press in. That we're going to move forward with Him. And we're going to see this place and this city in revival. Amen. Hallelujah.